Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole.
Uh-huh.
And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me, and now we flee for fallen leaves.
Uh-huh.
The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. Yah's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. Yah's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise Yah from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. Yah give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Ye adore Yah, magnify Yah, cause he's great.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Almighty Yah, the Creator of the universe, Elohim of our fathers, has once again shined his mercy upon us, blessed us, that we might see another day, and that we might come before you another night of bringing you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. Again, we want to thank the Most High for bringing us his great words and for allowing us to speak his words. For there are no words like the Most High. But who is this Yah that have allowed us to take his words and put it in our mouth, that we might speak them to you? Well, this Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our lawgiver. He's our judge. He is our only savior. And not just of Israel, but of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to come before the greatest house on earth, the House of Israel. Yesterday, we started off talking about the House of Israel. The scripture says in the book of Jeremiah 29, fourth verse, build ye houses and dwell therein. And it was always Yah's desire that we build houses and dwell in them. In other words, the Creator wanted us to have the very knowledge, the very skill, and the various wisdom, as well as understanding that one need to build a house. And once you begin building a house the proper way, then, and there's only one proper way, and I'm going to show you what that proper way is, then you will learn all the various skills you need to build a house. For instance, in the book of Psalms 127, we're going to start there. Psalms 127. And what are we talking about tonight? We're still dealing with the cultural ID, the cultural identity, the cultural makeup of our people. In other words, some of the very scriptures I might bring to you, you might say, well, that's not the law. That's not the commandment. That's not the statute or the judgment of the Most High. But little do people know, this is our word. This is Yah's word. These are his testimonies that he allowed to be in his book. You read these other various books, and you'll have testimonies in these books, not only that can't be verified, many of these testimonies contradict the law, and they contradict the revelations that was handed down to Moses and the other prophets. And so what we're reading to you is the testimonies as well as the laws that you need to build. The scriptures say to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, It is because there is no light in them. And just in truth, we have inherited a lot of bad things. Even though the scriptures tell us not to follow the ways of the heathens, even though the scriptures tell us not to envy not the oppressor and choose none of his ways, we done chose all his ways. And once we come to this understanding, then we will know why we in the shape that we're in. Watch this in the book of Psalm 127. In the first verse, it says, except Yah build a house, they labor in vain that build it. In other words, if it ain't Yah building a house, then all the labor that you're doing is in vain. You might think you have success. You might think you're doing good. It might look good what you thought you have done. But in truth, it's really in vain, because Yah said it's not the beginning of the thing that matters. It is the end of the matter that weighs the most. And a lot of people start the race so fast, but then they end up last. And you want to end up, and you want to start the race off slow and end up winning. And with Yah, you can win. So in marriage, except Yah build a house, they that labor in vain to build it. Raising children, except Yah build a house, they that labor in vain to build it. Except Yah heal you, except Yah give you the understanding you need to become one with him. All the labor that you're doing for money and for all kind of other things, I can assure you, you don't have the answers. Yahweh does. And watch what he says. Except Yah build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Yah keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And I may add, everything you do, except Yah is involved, and all you got to do is ask yourself, is Yah in this thing that I'm doing? It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of Yah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that have his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And what is this telling us? It's letting us know what we were attempting to let you know yesterday. When you're building a house, it's not just about a building. In the very sanctuaries that you're in, it's not about that building. Regardless if I have people sitting in front of me or not, my message that I bring to you from the Most High is to the world. It's not just to a bunch of people sitting in front of me who can clap and who can shout amen and hallelujah, and they can look at me and look at them, and they can look at me and act like my friend and act like they love me. No, that's not just building a house. Building a house is learning how to build a family. And the Almighty told us, from the time to Abraham all the way to Jacob, bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed in thee. And that is impossible to happen if you don't know how to bless one another, if you don't know how to be a family. And being a family is the chief thing that we have to learn. This is the cultural identity that Yah gave us in a manner, in a way that he didn't give no one else. Because Yah gave us something that directly belong not only to him, but directly he gave it to us that we might execute on the earth to be above all the families on the face of the earth. So we want Yah to be about our building. This is why all our conferences is about the law. It's about the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. And we meet three times a year. And when did our people meet like this before? Well, in the land. Three times a year they had to come to Jerusalem before Yah. And three times a year we meet all over the country about the law. And why? Because except Yah build a house, they that labor in vain to build it. And this is the only way we can build with one another. And that is with the cultural makeup that only came from the Most High himself. Because this is his word. These are his testimonies. This is his wisdom and his understanding that he gave us, that we might be wiser than all the other people. So that's what we dealt with yesterday. What we're dealing with tonight is number two, that make up our cultural ID. Now, what is culture? Culture is a way of life. A culture is something that you do day in and day out. And of course, what we should be doing is building with one another day in and day out. But the second thing we must learn how to do is also recorded in the book of Jeremiah 29 chapter, which we read yesterday, and that is plant ye gardens. Not only we're not building houses, and don't forget, a house is not just a building. That's a small part of building or the dwelling. There's other things have to go with it. But also, you have to plant gardens. This is very, very important. Let me show you how important this is. Furthermore, it didn't say just plant gardens. It says plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them. Because ain't no sense of working without no expected income. The only reason you're out there working today is to eat. If you're not working to eat, I don't know what you're working for. So if you're working to eat, then what better thing could you do than to plant and grow the food that you plan on eating? Don't that make sense? Why would you, and why is it wisdom? Which one is the greater wisdom? You to work and then take your hard money and buy food from other people that they grew themselves. You don't know how they grew it. You don't know where they grew it. You don't even know how long it's been grown. And you give them your money, and they give you food that you don't know nothing about so you can eat. And if they don't have food, then what would you eat? In other words, your money is no good now because you working to eat. And if the people don't have food to sell, then your money is no good. But if you're growing your own food, whether you got it to sell or not, you got it to eat. That's why the scriptures say, plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them. This is our cultural identity, cultural ID number two. And all week we're dealing with our cultural identity. Show you how important planting your gardens are. Every Israelite, and I'll repeat, every Israelite should have a garden. I don't care if you have a little pot on your porch and your patio and you're growing peppers or you're growing this or you're growing that. Every Israelite should have a garden. Watch what the scriptures say in the book of Genesis. The first chapter. The first thing you learn about a garden is this. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, in the 29th verse, this is what it says. And Elohim said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed. To you it shall be for food. So in other words, as an Israelite, the only herbs and the only fruit and the only vegetables we eat are those with seeds. If it don't have seeds, it's no good. Because every word of Elohim is pure. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So all the vegetables, all the fruit, all the herbs we deal with, it has to have seeds. So for instance, we don't deal with mushrooms. And why? Because they don't have seeds. A mushroom, all it is some type of fungus. Mushrooms can grow out of concrete. You can find those anywhere. And all they have to be is dark and bacteria, and it's going to grow. In other words, you don't need sun for a mushroom. But for the vegetables and fruits that y'all want us to eat that bear seeds, you have to have sun, you have to have water. Watch what the Creator said. He said again, and Elohim said, behold, I give you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food, and not just for you, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. In other words, not only do the herbs have to have seeds, but also they have to be green. There's no greenery on a mushroom at all. You don't have to pluck nothing green off a mushroom. And some of these other herbs, you don't have to pluck nothing green off of it. This is what y'all want us to eat. This is what he gave to the animals and the birds and the beasts. And I may add, if people are honest, instead of our people eating the herb-yielding seed or the green herb-yielding seed, our people would drink alcohol more than they eat something green. And you put something green in front of them, they get mad. And you already know our people will eat way more meat. They can go days without eating green, something green, weeks. But they can't go days without eating meat. They got to have some meat and some fries and a Coke. That's what our people been told. And now, when they get to a certain age and they have stomach problems and liver problems and kidney problems and eye problems and sinus problems and allergies, then they trying to figure out, you know, what they should do. And then all of a sudden they try to change when all you had to do is the right thing. And we have to do the right thing because this is the word of Yah. So these herbs, that's why you want to plant gardens and eat the fruit of them, because that's what Yahweh said. This is our culture. Don't get caught up in the culture of other people. We want to work all day for other people, and we don't have time to grow our own food. What you think we're going to work all day for? For food. So why not just cut out the middleman and just grow our own food? That alone cut down your bill. And watch this. Not only it was our food source, in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, why Yahweh said, plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, and Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made Yahweh Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from this it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first, Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And watch the 15th verse. And Yahweh Elohim took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden, to dress it and to keep it. And Yah Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And here it is. Not only was the garden was our food source, but the garden was man's first job. The first job a man had was to dress and keep the garden. Now, why would Yahweh put a man in the garden to dress and keep it? I thought keeping a garden was a woman's job. No, that's what they try to make you believe in society today. But that's not true at all. This is a job that Yahweh wanted his people to be able to do. This is what he desired of his people. And I'm going to show you that. And the question is why? One, because it was your food source. And number two, little do people know that any job that you have is you have that job not only to make money so you can buy food, but you also have that job to gain the skills that will help you in life. So, for instance, if your job is to dunk a basketball and dribble through your legs real good and make the basketball spin on your finger and dribble it behind your back and all that, how's that going to help you in life? What job can you do after that? Well, maybe you might be an announcer talking about sports. But what else can you do in life? Dribbling a basketball or throwing a football or hitting home runs. Sure, I learned a lot of various skills from sports. But the life skills one need to survive is not on the football field, baseball field, or the basketball court. The life skills you need to survive is what the Most High gave you for life. And I want you to see this because when you plant a garden, there are certain things you will automatically learn. And the first thing you're going to learn about planting gardens is how life and death is now in your hands. And you may ask, well, how's life and death in my hands? Well, because plants, they live. Seeds live. And you have to learn how to nourish and plant and watch these crops as they grow. And you have to protect them. And you have to watch over them. And you have to be delicate with them. No wonder we don't know how to build a house. And no wonder we don't know how to raise children. And no wonder we don't even know how to treat our wives. Because we never raised anything. And we never committed ourselves to life substances. And before Adam even had a wife, he knew how to take care of one because he learned how to take care of life matters, life things. Why do you think Yahweh put him in a garden to dress it and to keep it? Watch what the Creator say about this first job in the book of Psalms 104. And what are we speaking about? We're speaking about our cultural identity. Whose cultural identity? Israel. Because this book is a book that was written for us. It's a family book, and it lets us know everything that we need to know to be a family. And if anybody desires to be a part of our family, then they need to go by this. But you can't take our family heritage, our family history, our family ancestry, try to take it and then fix it up, dress it up for you, and try to act like it belonged to you. No, it don't. This belonged to Israel. And watch what the scriptures say about the herbs. We're in Psalms 104. And watch what it says. We'll start reading the 14th verse, and this is what it says. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth fruit out of the earth. Where do you think the food come from? And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make it his face to shine, and bread with strengthening man's heart. The trees of Yah are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest, and as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. So this is what we need to understand. These herbs was for the service of man. All the work we put in is for herbs. But we got a middleman where he dealing with the herbs. He's got the source. Whoever control the food control everything. They control everything. Why do you think these grocery stores are billion-dollar empires? Because they control the food source. And don't listen to the stories about how broke the farmers are. No, they control also. And they done sold out to many of the laboratories and the scientists, and now they making the food in the lab. And the only reason we're going through this is because we have rejected knowledge. If we control our own food source, then we can control what we eat. And we have the power to do it. I'm going to show you that we do have the power to do it, even though most people don't want to do it and don't believe we had a power to do it. So not only when Yahweh said, plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them, it was your food source, but it also was our occupation. Now, in the future, what do you think the herb will be? Well, let me show you what it will be in the future so you can understand there's nothing new under the sun. As it was, it shall be now. And what is now, it is what shall be. And Yah required that which is past. And I just want you to see so you can understand everything goes in a cycle. And once you learn the cycle, then you can understand where you should be in this cycle. And watch the scriptures in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, watch what it says in the 6th verse. And this is the future. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. How is that possible? The lamb's supposed to be meat for the wolf. How the wolf going to dwell with the lamb? Because at this time, you won't see no wolf eating no lamb. A wolf will be eating the same thing a lamb will be eating. Herbs, grass. Watch what it says. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. How was that? Because I thought the kid was also food for the leopard. and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. In other words, all the various animals that were prey to one another and that was would devour one another, they're going to be friends, lying down together. And a little child shall lead them, because he's not going to be afraid of no lion. What's a lion? And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Then if a lion can eat straw, an ox can eat straw, a leopard can lie down with a kid, a wolf can dwell with the lamb, then what do you think we supposed to be doing? And we supposed to be over the beast, the fowl of the air, the creeping thing. We are the ones that are supposed to have dominion. So if they eating like this, what in the world do you think we're going to be eating? And as you can see, what we started out eating. But to most and many, especially Israelites, they don't want to have no meal without no meat. They tell you that in a heartbeat. And get mad at you for talking about meat. Watch what the scriptures say. A verse, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy it in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yah, as the waters cover the sea. In other words, is there any compassion in your heart and mind? Do you realize that something have to die for you to have pleasure? In other words, you got to kill a goat, a lamb, an ox, or something just for you to have pleasure. Of course, you're not killing nothing to eat it. That's what our ancient fathers did. You letting somebody else kill it, put it in a little package, put some dye on it, put it on the shelf for a long time, and then you go get it and take it home to your family. Now you can see why the scripture says our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And here it is. All you have to do is plant a garden. And how much that costs? And eat the fruit of them. And how much that costs? This is all we have to do. And not only you're doing that, but you're learning a skill on how to care for life. Life matters. Life skills. Because if you can treat a plant delicate and watch over it and protect it from any danger that might come and attack it, well, you can do the same thing with your family. To keep that straight, you can keep your family straight. You can nourish them and raise them. No wonder Yah gave man his first job in the garden. And not only that, in the future, watch what the scriptures say in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47. And what are we discussing? We're talking about our cultural identity, our way of life, our cultural ID. Well, the first thing is we got to learn how to build a house. And building a house is more than just putting some bricks and mortar together and have a frame. Anybody can learn how to do that. It's more than just that. But we need to learn that also. And we have very skillful people with knowledge in Israel that Yah endowed them with this type of skill and they're just waiting for people to stand up and be ready to do the right thing. Ezekiel 47. And watch what it says. We'll start at the 6th verse so you can understand what this is saying. And this is when we get home. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other side. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto in Galeon. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, because their waters they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. In other words, in the future, you won't have to go to the doctor. All you have to do is go to the tree, get you some herbs, and that will be your medicine. And not only the same thing that's going to be your medicine, it's also going to be your food. That's why all you have to do is what Yahweh said. And what did he say? Plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them. And why? Because it's going to be your food and it's going to be your medicine. This is why this is number two. And not only that, the various lessons that you're going to learn in keeping and dressing a garden. Then you can understand what it means to raise and to build and to plant. Let me just show you some things about planting. So you won't think this is just for food. And then you can understand why we're in the shape that we're in, because we learned very bad habits. Our people came out of slavery, and what they seen the heathen beat everybody when they did wrong, beat everybody when they didn't work fast enough, beat everybody when they talked back to them. beat everybody when they looked in them in their face, beat everybody when they came up short, criticize, ostracize those who couldn't work fast enough and couldn't produce what the man wanted you to produce. And then afterwards, after he beat everybody, then he got drunk. And then after he got drunk, he took our mothers in front of their husbands. Now, fast forward to the day and look at our families. Look at our sons and daughters. They little children now. Now, when this was happening, they was doing this to adults, people who were older anyway. But we had little children. And, of course, soon as they mess up, what happens? They get beat. Soon as, no matter how hard they try, they still get beat. Let them say something back to exercise their own mind. They get beat. And then at the end of the day, what happens? You get drunk. You stress them, and they stress you. Well, we learned all this from our enemies. This is not our cultural identity, just raising and beating and walking around with belts on our neck in public, walking around with switches in our hand in public, walking around with loose shoes so we can take it off real quick and have to pop a little kid. We treat dogs better than we treat our children. And we had to turn this around. The scripture said, train a child in the way he should go. He didn't say beat a child in the way he should go. Beat him into submission. No, you got to train children. And if you learn how to plant, then you understand what Yahweh is saying, how to raise your children. In the book of Psalms 144, watch this. In the book of Psalms 144, this is what it says. Eleventh verse. It says, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And that's what we learned. We learned a lot of falsehood. And the 12th verse says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Well, if you know how a plant is grown, a plant is not grown. In other words, you know, plants, they can withstand a lot. If you protect them right, they can withstand wind, and they can withstand water, they can withstand a lot of things. But what plant can withstand somebody trampling on them and running on them and not give them the proper water and proper light? These are the things that you will learn if you're dealing with a garden. But if you're dealing with how our enemies treat us, and then we take that knowledge and treat our own, this is not the way of Yah. Watch what it says. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And what's a cornerstone? A cornerstone is one of the most important stones in the house. You mess up the cornerstone, you mess up the house. And this is what you want your daughters to be. Polished cornerstones. And you want your sons to be plants grown up in their youth. This is why you plant a garden and eat the fruit of them. Furthermore, watch what it says in Isaiah 60. And we're going to start at verse 21. And this is what it says. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. That's how Yahweh see us. He see us as the branch of his planting. Because you got to know how to plant. If you don't know how to plant, then how could you know how to raise children? How could you know how to build a house? And you don't know how to plant. It says a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, Yah, will hasten it in his time. In Isaiah 61. Watch what it says. And what are we discussing? We're discussing number two, cultural identity of our people that we need to concern ourselves with. And what is that? Plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them. And watch what it says, Isaiah 61. The spirit of Yah Elohim is upon me. Because Yahweh have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yah and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yah, that he might be glorified. How can we glorify Yah without knowing how to plant? The end game of our game is that we be trees of righteousness. And how can you be a tree of righteousness without knowing how to plant? This is essential. This is an essential part of life that Yahweh gave to us. You know he didn't give it to these other people because they took and cut down all the various trees and built roads and big towers, large buildings, trains, so they can do import and exporting. They wanted to get there fast. Highways, 6-7 lanes across, where they got food in these big old trucks. bringing them from all over the world. You know how long it takes you to get food from Mexico and food from the islands and food from all the various places in the world where they bring this food from, and they put them on trucks, and then they put them in warehouses, and then they put them in stores, and then they put them on shelves. And after your food go through all these different things, we go right to the shelf and get it, not asking no questions. We don't know what it's been injected with. We don't know what it's been pumped with. We don't know what it's been colored with. But we give them our money. And Yahweh is teaching us we can cut out the middleman. And we can go straight to the food. How much it costs to grow food? And how much it costs to eat it? What you grow. If you don't grow it, then ask yourself how much it costs to buy food. And then ask yourself how much it costs to eat it. Because today is not only costing us money, but it's also costing us our health. So we're paying a big price, a bigger price than you can imagine for not listening to Yah and rejecting his knowledge. Again, watch what planting the garden and eating the fruit thereof teach you. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah, the second chapter, and watch what Yah has to say about us. Starting at the 20th verse. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou sayest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. And yes, this is what our people are doing today. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. In other words, we came from the best. You know who we came from? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We came from the best of the best. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? In other words, we so degenerate that we have become strange. In other words, now when we go to the store, we don't care whether this thing got seeds or not. As a matter of fact, we don't want no seeds in the fruit no more. We don't want to know where this meat come from and how long it's been there. As a matter of fact, we don't even think when we walk into a store that this something that this is a phenomenon that is backwards in of itself. To allow others control the food, and they dish it out to us. It's a known fact that everything on the shelf, it only gonna last 3 days. So if anything happens, any type of catastrophe, you have 3 days worth of food. And be quite frank and honest, you don't even have 3 days. Let them hear about something. And that day, that food will be gone. That water will be gone. And you might have enough for the next day. But after that, that's it. That's it. By the third day, three strikes you out. Because if you wait till that third day, it's gone. And let me tell you, because we're going to be dealing with Jacob's trouble at our conference. And you're going to see the type of trouble that Jacob is in for. Because he that controls the food control you. So you're going to see how important this second cultural ID thing is. Now we're just a degenerate plant. But we don't have to be. Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 4th chapter. And watch what the Most High tell us. First verse. If thou will return, O Israel, says Yah, and that's what we're telling you all the time, return unto me. And if thou will put away thy abomination out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, Yah liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nation shall be blessed, or the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. And watch what it says. For thus says Yah to the men of Yehuda and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among the thorns. And what is he trying to tell us? See, if you know about planting, then you will know what it means to break up your fallow ground. And you will know, understand what it's saying about sowing not among the thorns. Circumcise yourself to Yah. And take away the foreskins of your heart, you mean the Yehuda, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. And people don't want to go to the great length it takes to break up your fallow ground. You talk to a farmer, he know exactly what that means. You got to put that pick in that ground, and you got to dig, and you got to hit it hard, and you got to turn that dirt over, and you want the best dirt on the top. And you got to pick it, and hit it, and hit it, until that thing becomes soft. And now that it's soft, now you can put that seed down. But how can you put a seed on a dry ground? Heathen so lazy, instead of him turning the ground over, plus he don't want to, the dirt that he has is no good. But he's so lazy, he just put the seeds on top of the ground, put some hay over it, And that's like the birds don't see it, and they don't smell it, and they don't know what's going on. But that's what he would try to do. But not Israel. Israel, they got to work this. Just like you got to beat down the wicked desires of your heart. You can't be lazy when you're trying to get your heart right. You can't half get your heart right. You got to work hard at getting your heart right. You got to beat the wicked stuff out of your heart. And this is something nobody want to do. But you have to do it. If you plan on being a part of Yah's house. And Yah's house is Yah's family. Show you what David said about Yah's family in the book of Psalm 27. I don't never want you to forget this. Because where you see house, it's talking about family. Like black people used to have an expression. You come in a house and they love you and they familiar with you. They say, oh, you family. You can go in my refrigerator. You can go in my cabinet. You family. And watch what David had to say. Psalm 27, verse 1. Yah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? How you going to fear something and Yah is your light and salvation? Yah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nobody give you strength but Yah. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And watch the confidence that he have, and watch this. One thing, not two, not three, not seven. One thing have I desired of Yah, that I will seek after, because you got to work for what you want. That I may dwell in the house of Yah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yah and to inquire in his temple. That ain't that what you want? Well, if you want that, you got to work at this thing. You got to break up that fallow ground. You cannot sow among the thorns. You got to learn how to plant. Because this is the only way this desire can be fulfilled. And why did he desire one thing, and that's to be a part of the house of Yah? Because to be a part of the house of Yah is to be a part of Yah's family. Yahweh don't let anybody just come into his house. There's certain things that have to happen for you to come into the house of Yah. And once you're able to come into that house, this is what will happen. The fifth verse. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yah. Hear, O Yah, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Yah, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Elohim of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then Yah will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Yah. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of Yah in the land of the living. Wait on Yah, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on Yah. Hallelujah. We have to learn how to plant. For Yahweh said, plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them. Furthermore, look in the book of Hosea, the 10th chapter. Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about our cultural identity, who we are, and what we must become. In the book of Hosea, the 10th chapter, watch what it says, 12th verse. Soul. See, soul is a term only used or only familiar to those who plant. They know exactly what this word means. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Because if you do that, watch what it says. And reap in mercy. Because once you begin to sow to yourselves in righteousness, there's only one thing that's going to grow from that. And that is mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Here we go again. For it is time to seek Yah till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And this is what we want to do. This is what we're called to do. Don't let the hard ground keep you from doing the right thing. It says in the 13th verse, you apply wickedness. And of course, as a result of doing that, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. And this is where we are today. Instead of trusting in Yah, our people have trusted in their own way. Instead of us sowing righteousness and reaping mercy, we plow wickedness and reap iniquity. But if we knew how to plant and we ate the fruit of the thing that we planted, then we would learn how to take care of one another. We will learn how to take care of something outside of our own self. We will learn how to value life. Who want to plan to die? Nobody want to plan to die. You want that plant to live. And the cycles of life is to eat that living organism so that you might live. And then that living organism will come from you, and that cycle will return all over again, because it's just a cycle. That's it. And I told you before, I'll show you, even in captivity, this is something that you can do. We can do. Don't think because of our circumstance, we can't do this. Watch what the scripture says in the book of Daniel, the first chapter. Now, don't think everybody will want to do this, because most wouldn't. Most will look at Daniel and say, well, that's Daniel. That ain't for everybody. And here it is. The scripture tell us to mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. So if you're not marking Daniel, then you know you're not a man that I want to mark at all. And watch what it says in the book of Daniel, the first chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 8th verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Not only him had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my master the king, who have appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy service. In other words, test thy service, I beseech, 10 days. And let them give us posts to eat and water to drink. But who want to eat posts? Posts just means vegetables like lentils. Who want to eat a bunch of lentils and just drink some water? What fun is that? What kind of enjoyment is that? What kind of thing is that? Nobody. Well, the righteous, that's who want to do it. The righteous. They don't have no problem with eating posts and drinking water. That's what the righteous do. And watch what it says. Wasn't Daniel one of the most righteous? Almighty said if Daniel and Noah, Daniel and Job was in the earth, they would save themselves by their own righteousness. So we're reading about the righteous. Why do you think I told you to? The other week, this is the book of the upright. This is the book of Yasher. Not these other books, counterfeits. This is it. And watch what it says. Thirteenth verse. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he considered to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. In other words, while they eating a bunch of meat, all Daniel then was eating vegetables, and they still looked way more healthier and fatter than the people was eating meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them posts. And why take away the wine? Because most people don't realize that if you keep your mind altered, then you honestly believe Yahweh is about to come to your mind and your mind altered every day. With wine and beer and liquor and weed every day. and you expect Yahweh to come to your mind, you don't know if it's Yahweh or you just high. And chances are you just high. People that were close to God, they didn't even eat grapes, let alone drink wine. And they was called a Nazarite, those who made that vow. And watch what it says about this Daniel. And as for these four children, Elohim gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and in wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. Among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom, understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his reign. And Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. Now, ask yourself, now do you see why Yahweh said, plant ye gardens and eat the fruit of them? This is very vital. This is not just going outside, planting a garden and eating the fruit. No, this is a way of life. This is our cultural identity. This is our ID card. This is who we are. This is what we're supposed to be. And this is what we will be if we return to Yah and Yah return to us. Again, dealing with our cultural identity. This is cultural ID number 2. And next will be cultural ID number 3. So until tomorrow, Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom.